45th Psalm, if you want to turn with us there. My heart, in other words, is overflowing with things. You ever stop to think and sit down and just meditate upon Christ, especially you whom God has given a new heart, a new spirit, a new nature? Just thinking about the Lord and what He's done for you. Think about all He's wrought for you in salvation. Yes, our heart is inditing a good matter. It is overflowing. And like the psalmist says, my tongue is like a ready writer. I wonder if you, as a child of the living God, if you were to sit down at your desk somewhere with a pencil and paper, and your heart is overflowing, is indicting in a good manner, good matter, and you sit down and you can think of many things that you can say, how you can describe the preciousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, how you could sit down there and, oh, like David said, my tongue is like a ready writer. That has to do with the King, to speak of Him and what He means to our hearts as His child. You ever stop to think about what Christ means to you as a believer? You ever stop to think about what He can mean to you? You see, the more we think of Christ, the more He means to us, the more He lives within the heart, the more that we're able to speak of Him and to tell all about Him, the closeness and the nearness of Christ is to us, how we can meditate upon Him. So the 45th Psalm, let's read a portion of it, will you? Come on, tonight in meditation and talking about the sweetness and the glory of our Lord. My heart is inditing with a good matter, or overflowing with a good matter. Oh, sometimes you get so full. Sometimes you're just overflowing and you just cannot stop. And it just comes voluntarily from your heart as you speak about the Lord, about His grace, about His mercies, about His love. You tell all about the preciousness of the Lord Jesus Christ and what He means to you. I speak of the things which I have made touching the King. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. I love that statement. I love that. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. And he goes on to describe now the Lord. I wonder how you would describe Him. All right, now he begins here, thou art fairer than the children of men. Grace is poured into thy lips. Therefore God hath blessed thee forever. Gird thy sword upon thy thigh, O most mighty, with the glory and with thy majesty. And in thy majesty ride prosperously because of truth and meekness and righteousness. And thy right hand shall teach thee awe-inspiring things. Thine arrows are sharp in the heart of the king's enemies, whereby the people fall under thee. Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of thy kingdom is a right scepter. Thou lovest righteousness and hatest wickedness. Therefore God, thy God, had anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. All thy garments smell of myrrh and aloes and cassia, out of the ivory palaces whereby they have made thee glad. King's daughters were among thy honorable women. Upon thy right hand did stand the queen in gold of Ophir. Hearken, O daughter, and consider and incline thine ear. Forget also thine own people and thy father's house. So shall the king greatly desire thy beauty, for he is thy lord, and worship thou him. And the daughter of Tyre shall be there with a gift, even the rich among the people shall entreat thy favor. The king's daughter is all glorious within. Her clothing is of wrought gold. She shall be brought unto the king in raiment of needlework, and the virgins, her companions who follow her, shall be brought unto thee. With gladness and rejoicing shall they be brought. They shall enter into the king's palace. Instead of thy father shall be thy children, whom thou mayest make princesses, princes in all the earth. I will make thy name to be remembered in all generations, and therefore shall the people praise thee forever and ever. What a glorious psalm! The king and his beauty. The psalmist begins, "My heart is inditing with a good matter, or overflowing with a good matter." And isn't Christ a good matter in the heart? Does your heart ever overflow when you speak of him, when you could tell all about him and his beauty? As in the Song of Solomon's, as we'll read after a while, I got to thinking in meditating upon this psalm, what would I write about the king and his beauty? How can I describe him? David said here, "My tongue is the pen of a ready writer." Now, what would I write if I'd sit down and just write? And I began to do it yesterday as I began to meditate. I said, "Now, what can I write about my Lord? What he means to me? What he has meant to me since the day he saved me? And how precious has he been since that time? How can I describe him in all of his beauty, all of his love, all of his fairness in everything?" You know, you get so taken up with him, with Christ, that you lose sight of everything in this world. There's nothing that appeals unto you like Christ appeals to the heart. There's nothing that means more to you than as Christ means to you. There's nothing that eclipses the presence of Christ, his beauty, in your heart, in my heart. He encompasses all things. He is everything. And I praise the Lord for that. Grace is poured forth from his lips into our hearts. My heart is inditing a good matter. I speak of the things which I have made touching the king. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. Look at that word, those two words there, my heart. Now, what kind of a heart expresses these things? It could not be the old natural heart. The natural heart does not think about God. There's no beauty in him that they should desire him. The old natural heart will never desire after the Lord Jesus Christ, would never be able to describe the Lord in all of his beauty. The natural heart at one time, it dictated evil things against the Lord. And it does. It's enmity against God, and they can only think evil things against God. It's forever cursing God. All he could do was blaspheme and rebel and so forth. But the new heart gives us in salvation, that new heart is indicting a good matter. It's overflowing with a good matter. At one time, it overflowed with sin and with lust and with the world and everything. But now, it is indicting a good matter. It's overflowing in a good matter. Christ, a good heart will only be content with good thoughts. Oh, how the believer, how that he hates unholy thoughts that come across his heart and mind. Unholy thoughts, lustful thoughts, rebellious thoughts, jealous thoughts, and how he's wounded by them. He just hates them because the new heart only wants to respond to the good things of God, the good matters, the good things that God gives. It will only be content with good thoughts. And I praise the Lord that in time, as he writes his laws upon our hearts, he writes his words upon our hearts, that our hearts become more acceptable to him, to his thoughts. And the matter is increased within us, good matter, overflowing matters within us, until our heart is full. Now where the fountain is good, good streams will flow forth, and that is so. Don't you just hate to see people and hear them speak, curse, and there's nothing but a fountain flowing from it of just enmity, hatefulness, jealousy, and you come in contact with those, it only comes from an evil heart flowing from an evil heart. But where that fountain is good, good streams will flow forth from it. Blessings instead of cursing. You see? Blessings instead of cursing. It will not flow forth jealousy or enmity or cursing, bitterness. It will not. Because there's a fountain there that God's put there, and only good streams will flow forth from that. Only that which the Lord Jesus Christ puts within us. Matthew 12:35 tells us that a good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. Psalms 19:14 tells us, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. When thou sayest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Now this is the desire and the prayer of an obedient heart. You came here today with that matter, that indicting matter in that heart of yours. It's been a good matter. I know in my case, I came here looking for the King. I came here searching for the King, looking for Him, watching for Him, waiting for Him. It's been indicting in a good matter. And He came in. He overflowed us with His presence. He undertook for us with His help and His strength, with His Spirit. Labored through us. And how I praise the Lord for it. Yes, when He told us to seek His face, my heart said, Thy face will I seek. Are you seeking the Lord's face tonight? Did you come seeking His face? Did you come hearing about Him, seeking Him? Oh, where can I find Him? Where can I find Him whom my soul desires after? Oh, just looking unto Him. And then, how sweet are Thy words unto my taste. Yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. And what does it say there? It says, grace is poured into thy lips. Therefore God hath blessed thee forever. I am, and my heart is inditing a good matter. The good matter is inspired by the Holy Spirit. The good matter is Christ the King. And wouldn't you say the knowledge of the redeeming love of Christ to His church, espousing her as the bride, is worthy to be called a good matter? Wouldn't you say that? I would. It certainly is. That is the sweetest story that reaches the ear of a sinner. Christ the King, Christ espousing the church unto Himself. What glad tidings to sinners. The theme of the praises of the believing soul is Christ's person. Oh, that's what they're interested in. That's what I'm interested in Christ's person. The person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. What He's done for us. What He's done for the church in redeeming the church by His own precious blood. When you say that was indicting a good matter, when you say that was something good to think about and to meditate upon, let my meditation be upon Thee, O Lord, upon all that Thou hast done for me. All that He means to the believing sinner in salvation, that's a good matter. Think about it. Oh, that story we always may say and may continue to say is the good news of the gospel. When you say that was indicting a good matter, is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That means good news to guilty sinners like you and I. Think about it. Think about it. And on the other hand, what would it be like if anything else was preached from here? Oh, brothers and sisters, let me say right now how God has preserved this ministry, how He's overshadowed it, as it were, with His wings, and hid them under them, hid us, this church, His people, under His outstretched wings. He knew we couldn't labor in our own strength and win the battles of life and gain victory. The overshadowing Almighty God, with His wings, as it were, hovering over us, keeping us, preserving us, and until the day when He'll say enough and take us on home. When you think that was something wonderful to think about, isn't that what the psalmist is trying to tell us? How what Christ means, what he means to the individual who knows him, what he means in the presence of the church, what it means to be without Christ and to be in Christ, to know what he's doing for us and how he's keeping us and preserving us and raising this assembly. Seemingly it was going to oblivion, to destruction, but how he's gathered us together and kept us and preserved us and strengthened us and led us to face the situation as it was. And then we see his hands moving among us. You see his strength preserving us. We see the victory that lies ahead of us. We don't see the destruction before us as our enemies has anticipated. But those are good things to dwell upon. Those are good matters I love to think about the preservation of the saints of his church and the victory that you and I have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, my heart is overflowing in a good thing, in a good matter. When I come here, I rejoice to know that God's with us. His omnipresence is with us, the great Jehovah, with us. And I rejoice in that. I praise the Lord for that. You're not consumed tonight because the Lord's with you. Do you know, if you stop and think, if he would mark iniquity against every one of us, where would you and I stand? All right. Let's think about the mercies of a covenant-keeping God. Let's think about the love of God that passeth knowledge. Oh, wouldn't you say that was worth thinking about and writing about? I imagine some of you can sit down and write page after page all that the Lord means to you, what he means to this ministry, what he means in giving you a saved pastor, what he's mean in preserving us through the years. I can look back 20 years now and see how God's mighty hand moved and swept aside lies and errors and everything, and just to keep the truth here, keep it clear, to keep it clean, to keep it going forth, to keep it uncompromising, and to the souls of men, and where he has honored his word, he confirms his word. He backs it up with his faithfulness, in which I praise the Lord for. And I just look back at that. Don't you? Can't you look back there? See where the Lord's brought you from, every one of you, and just think about it and see. That's good things to think about. Oh, and you would say in your heart, yes, that's right. Suppose if he would have left me. Suppose if it would have been the other way around. Then where in the world would we be? I know where we'd be. We'd be lost and ruined on the road to hell. That's true. We'd never be able to talk about the great grace of God, the great love of God, the great mercies of a sovereign God. Or we'd never be able to think upon those things and meditate upon them. They are our meditation day and night. Our hearts are indicting a good matter. Overflowing matters, overflowing things in our hearts. It certainly is. I dwell upon them. I think about them upon my bed at night, what God's done for us. I get up the next day rejoicing that he's with us. Yes, I do. And I know I can come to a living God. I know I can come to a throne of grace where I can receive mercy and grace to help day by day. Oh, how strengthless I was today But he did say, as thy days, so shall thy strength be. That's a wonderful thing to think about, huh? Is that I can get strength from my Redeemer, from my Lord. Yes, the theme of the praise of the believing soul is Christ's person. He's interested only in Christ, his person. Nothing else satisfied. Nothing else would be included in that matter, and it wouldn't be a good matter. All that he means to the believing sinner in salvation. And he goes on there, he says, as touching the King. Not only what touches the King, but oh, also that which touches his church. Do you know the Lord? He can be felt with the feeling of our infirmities. Do you know what touches our hearts and our lives? It touches his heart and his life. To know that our Lord suffers when you and I suffer. He is hurt when you and I are hurt. Because he was in all points tempted as we. He suffered cruel mockery from the enemy. They laughed him to scorn. They spat upon him. And he knew that what his church would go through, his redeemed people, those that he would save, his elect, he knew what they would suffer. But he says, never mind, my child. Never mind. What touches your life touches mine. What you suffer, I have suffered, and he suffers along with us. That's why he's an understanding high priest. That's why he can be felt with the feelings of our hurts, of our infirmities, of our sufferings. And he is, because he was in all points tempted as we. You see, he's an understanding high priest. And therefore, I can think upon those things, and my heart is indicting a good matter. Oh, to think what he means to me, that he's my God, he's my Redeemer, he's my risen Lord, he is my High Priest, and therefore, to know that relationship that exists between him and I, that when I'm hurt, he's hurt. When he's hurt, when he's mocked at, when they use his name in vain, when they blaspheme his name, it hurts his church. It hurts his child. They flinch at it. They just can't understand how man can be so cruel to his Christ, to his Lord, and how they can take his name and lower it in the dust and trample upon it, his truth, and do despite to the Spirit of grace, the Holy Spirit, unless we know the human heart, the heart that's in man, that natural heart, then we'll never understand why man can be so destructive in their thoughts, in their speeches, in what they've got to say against our Lord. Touching the King. But not only that touches the King, but also that what touches his church. Whatever is done to them is done to himself. Whatever interests his child interests him. And that's true. You note here that the psalmist wrote about those things which he had made his own and personally experienced and tasted and handled concerning the King. He said, I speak of the things. I speak of the things which I have made. touching the King, that which I have learned within myself and experienced in my own life as pertaining to the King, the relationship. You see, the person of our Lord Jesus. He says, my tongue is the pen of a ready writer. I imagine I could sit down here, I could stand up here all night long and tell you exactly what Christ means to me. What Christ means to me. I know we've heard our late pastor many times tell us what Christ meant to him. Oh, and how we'd weep with him, rejoice with him. And how often have I said, oh, if I could put those things down and just be able to speak them like he speaks. What, how I can describe Christ? How can I describe him to you? Oh, so much out of his word as only the word can tell, and how we've experienced him in our own hearts and what he has meant to us day by day through the years. Oh, what an indicting a good matter. Listen, listen. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak heartily. Thou art fairer than the children of men. Grace is poured into thy lips. Therefore, God hath blessed thee forever. Grace. What a tender word is grace. Grace poured into the lips of our Lord. And then he takes that grace that God the Father gives him and pours it into our hearts. How marvelous, how gracious. Isn't that worthwhile meditating upon? When you say your heart is indicting a good matter, that the God of all grace would give grace to his Son, and then the Son will give us grace. Oh, can't you see that relationship there, that union, that which ties us and binds us with the Father? Oh, the grace of God that cometh down here. Isn't that wonderful? Thou art fairer than the children of men. Grace is poured forth from thy lips. The Songs of Solomon's 1:16 tells us, behold, thou art fair, my beloved, yea, pleasant. That's one of my thoughts tonight. Isn't that wonderful? Can you say that about the Lord Jesus Christ, that he is fair? Fair. I know I was thinking, meditating upon this. I said, just let me sit down, just write. Just write, write, write. Just write, write, write. Just think about everything that Christ means to me. I could never do it, all of it. But thou art fair, my beloved. Yea, thou art pleasant. What a good matter. My heart is inditing a good matter, an overflowing matter. It's an abundance of his grace. And Songs of Solomon 2:3 tells us, as the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. Is that wonderful? Just to eat and dine with the Lord under the apple tree. Now, wouldn't you say that was inditing a good matter in your heart? Isn't that be worth something to write about? Can you see the psalmist there? His heart is overflowing with good matters, with good things. He's trying to describe it. But you know, after you've done all of that, you can never fully reach that full description of our Lord. It still leaves you speechless, what Christ means to us, what he means to you. No beauty among men is compared to the beauty of Christ. That's right. No beauty among men is compared to the beauty of the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you found any? Have you seen any other? You know, that's what Isaiah meant when he says, unless the individual's eyes are open and their understanding is open, they'll never see any beauty in the Lord Jesus Christ. You never will. But it's only as the Holy Spirit opens the heart and deals with that heart in grace, gives that sinner faith to look to Christ, that's when that sinner comes to see the beauty in the Lord Jesus Christ. They shall look upon him whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn after him as one that mourneth for their firstborn. Now why is it? Oh, I want him. I want him. I want Christ. What beauty. What loveliness. Yes, there's no beauty among men as compared to the beauty of the Lord Jesus Christ. As Christ is God, he is the resplendency of his Father's glory, whose glory the whole earth is full. Now I want you to turn with us to Colossians, in your Bible, turn with us to Colossians, the first chapter. The first chapter, and let's read that 15th verse of that first chapter. 15, who, in that 14th verse, it says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. Now listen to the 16th verse. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, and in all things he might have preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, in Christ. Isn't that wonderful? Just think about Christ. It pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. One time it pleased the Father to bruise him, to put him to grief, to put him to death. But now it tells us here, it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. Oh, what a Savior. What a Savior. What a Christ. What a Lord we have. Complete salvation in Christ. So you see what it means to know him, to come to him. But you see what you'll lose by turning away and by going the other direction. You may have everything outwardly, but if you don't have Christ, you don't have anything. You're empty and void. And you have nothing to think about, nothing to meditate upon. You may meditate upon your religion, but that doesn't satisfy. You may meditate a little bit on your prayer life, but that gets tiresome. And your giving, and then at a time you'll come to where you won't be able to give nothing, that'll fade. But listen, Christ is worthwhile meditating upon. That's a good matter that's in the heart. And praise the Lord for it. You've got him. You've got the fullness of God. You've got everything that God wants you to have in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I can say that having him, I have need of nothing, because we are complete in Christ. And then if you turn over to the second chapter of Colossians, in that ninth verse, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him. Now, isn't that wonderful to think about? Isn't that wonderful? When you say my heart is inditing a good matter, oh, just to think I'm complete in Christ, I have need of nothing else, and I have enough to get to heaven on. I have redemption. That's part of my completeness there. I have his righteousness. I've got that garment of righteousness. And oh, how to think about that. Do you have that garment of righteousness? Or are you still wearing that self-righteous garment around you? Or that religious garment around you? Or your self garment? Or that proud garment? Is that what you're wearing? Well, that's not indicting a good matter at all. That doesn't rejoice the heart. That does not. But oh, to be complete in Christ, to know his righteousness, to know his redemption, to know his wisdom, oh, and to know that you're sanctified in the Lord Jesus Christ. What a salvation we have. Oh, brethren, what a salvation we have. Something to rejoice and to think about. It's not a fancy. It's not an imagination. But it's reality. And like that song our pastor used to sing about, my Lord is real. Yes, real to me. My soul demands reality. My Lord is real. Real to me. Is he real to you? Is there a fountain flowing from your heart with streams that flow of good things flowing in that stream? Is your heart inditing a good matter that gives you cause for rejoicing and praising and thanksgiving? And oh, you think of so many things that God's given you in the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace is poured into thy lips. He is able to discover sin and the misery that's in the human heart. He knows the human heart. No one knows it like Christ. And he discovers sin in every heart. But I tell you something else, my friends, tonight. He is able to deliver a sinner by his grace. And he is able to lead that sinner in the way of grace. Because why? Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. His grace is able to subdue the sinner and persuade that sinner to embrace that truth. Isn't that wonderful? A sinner may say, may fight, may struggle, may put up all kind of excuses, but God's grace that's poured into the heart, into the lips of our Lord, is able to reach into the heart of a sinner and subdue that sinner and compel that sinner to embrace the truth of himself, to embrace the truth of the Christ, because grace and truth came by Jesus Christ, and he is able to subdue the sinner and enable that sinner to embrace that truth. God's law demands righteousness. Christ gives it. Isn't that wonderful? Can you produce a righteousness in yourself? Huh? Can you produce a righteousness? You may say, Pastor, no, I cannot. I cannot produce a righteousness. Oh, but the law requires righteousness. Yes, I know that. but you cannot fulfill that law, and you cannot produce a righteousness that would satisfy the law. You can do what you can, what you will, but the law will never be satisfied, because you'll just have to keep on doing, and it has to be complete perfection. In other words, you've got to come to the place that where you don't have sin. You don't know anything about sin. And that's true. And God demands righteousness at the same time. But how am I going to give it? All right. Christ gives it. Christ wrought out that righteousness for you and I. Christ kept the law for you and I. Every jot and every tittle of it. Have you ever seen yourself a transgressor to that law? That you broke the law, that you cannot keep it, and that you have transgressed it. God's holy law, it's perfect. But you see, you're so far from it, from keeping it, you just can't do it. All right, then look to another. Look to the strong man. Look to the dazed man. Look to the Redeemer who kept the law. Now, what the sinner cannot do, Christ has done. God demands it, Christ gives it. Now, you look at it now. Now, God demands it, but Christ gives it. So stop trying to work it out yourself and look to Christ. Stop trying to fulfill it. Look to the Lord. Look to Christ. Look to Him who did fulfill the whole law. Christ gives it. And how do you and I believe this? It's through grace. Now, who gives that grace? Christ. Where it comes from? The Father. And it comes into our hearts by the lips of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why the psalmist says, kiss the Son. Kiss the Son. Let His grace flow into your heart. Open your heart and let His grace flow in. Yes, we can go on and on, but we're going to stop right along here. And let's go back to that 45th chapter again. God, Thou art fairer than the children of men. Grace is poured into Thy lips. Therefore, God had blessed Thee forever. And as Isaiah 53:9 tells us, He had done no violence. Think about our Lord. Read the Gospels and see that everywhere He went, where He met sinners, those that were concerned, those that were afflicted, that grace constantly poured forth from His lips. God the Father gave it to Him. It poured forth from His lips into the hearts of people. That's why it left some on their faces crying. That's why it left others grasping after Him. They couldn't let Him go. And they followed Him everywhere, because grace was being poured forth from His lips into their hearts. Like that poor woman who had the issue of blood. Oh, if I could only touch the hem of His garment. Grace poured forth from Him. Grace. He had done no violence, and neither was any deceit in His mouth, only grace. Think about the grace of God, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Though He was rich, yet He became poor, that we might in turn become rich. And therefore, we're rich in Christ tonight. We are complete in Christ tonight. Our hearts are indicting in a good matter. And what an overabundant supply that's there for us to meditate upon, to think about, to relish in, to adore, and to give us strength day by day. You know, we never run out. we'll never run out. And that's why he told that woman at the well there, he says, the water that I should give you, I'll give you. It'll be like a well of living water that shall be gushing forth from your belly. It'll never run dry. His graces, they never run dry. You never get tired talking about them. It's there. It's a spring that just flows. You ever go to the springs in the hills? I did when I was in camp years ago, and see that cool water just flowing from there. You put your finger on it and see how cold it is, nice and cool and cold, clear. You reach down there with your lips and you drink it. Drink it. Cool water. That reminds me of the well of living water. The coolness, the pureness of it, and how it just keeps flowing in the believer. In the believer. No wonder he can go on, she can go on, because he has that well of living water in him, and that's eternal life in the Lord Jesus Christ, which is worth thinking about and meditating upon. And oh, my heart tonight is inditing in a good matter. Is yours? Let my meditation be upon thee. And may the great grace of our Lord rest upon every one of you. As you go away from here tonight, may your hearts be inditing in a good matter. May you be rejoicing and praising the Lord for the Redeemer, for Christ, and what he means to your heart and my heart. Huh? Let's do that. And get over there and read that psalm there, and let it be your meditation. And maybe tomorrow you might be able to sit down and describe the loveliness and the beauty of Christ to your own heart. You do that. The more you dwell upon him, let me tell you something. The more you dwell upon Christ, the more you look to him, the more you're going to become Christ-like. The more of his grace you're going to come to know, the more of his mercies that you're going to know, and is going to express itself in your heart, in your life, and more of a change that we'll see in you. What a Lord. What a Christ. And may the Lord bless this message to your heart like he's blessed to mine. I'm glad I came tonight. Are you glad you come tonight? You glad you came here tonight? I am. And as this tape is played, I hope it blesses your heart out there. Think upon Christ, will you? Just think upon him. After all, you're saved by him. By him. He's our salvation. There's no other name given among men. There's no other person. Only one, that's Christ. And may I plead, would you turn to him? Let's stand. Thank you for coming tonight. Pray for us and come back here and be with us Wednesday night. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank thee tonight that our hearts have been inditing in the good matter. Oh, how it overflows when we think about the love of Christ, the mercies of Christ, the grace of Christ, the faith of Christ. And oh, how our hearts rejoice and want to just praise thee and praise thee and praise thee. Oh, but Father, when we think that these tongues and these bodies are limited, but we know there's coming a day when we shall have our new bodies and praise thee forever and ever, never to grow tired again, never to be weak, never to be ineloquent in our speech, but our Father, to praise thee in all of pureness and blessedness and holiness in righteousness, unmolested by sin. And our Father, thank Thee for sending us this way tonight. Bless Thy word as it's gone forth today, and give us victory. For Christ's sake we pray and ask it. Amen.